Today's program has been brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons, third-generation cure masters producing the country's best dry-cured and aged hams, bacon, and sausage. For more information, visit SurreyFarms.com.
Hi, this is Joe Campanelli, the host of In the Drink. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, America. I'm Chad Pagano. I'm a former Army sniper, a chef instructor at the Institute of Culinary Education, and an avid lifelong hunter. And you're about to listen to The Wild Game Domain, From the Hunt to the Hearth, airing live on heritageradionetwork.org. Welcome back. And today I'm very excited to have a guest. Friends?
Yeah, let's say friends.
I'm going to say my brother.
Good enough.
My brother, Jose Montez. Welcome aboard, pal.
Thank you. Well, hello.
He's a little nervous, but let me tell you, I was just telling the producer, Jack, that this guy is, a jack of all trades. I mean, I've had conversations with this guy about everything from electricity to hunting to cooking. What else? Politics.
Geopolitics.
I mean, everything. The guy could talk about anything. So I got to be honest with you. I didn't script anything. I don't have any questions prepared. We're going to talk to him. I'll tell you something, though. When he drops off pizza for me when I'm working, I really appreciate it. The guy is an excellent pizza maker, which I find a little ironic. We're sitting here in probably, in my opinion, the greatest pizza place.
Yeah, pretty humbling.
In the history of the world. And I'm talking to a pizza maker. So welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Let's start with the pizza thing. What are you up to with that? I know you're working for a company.
Yeah, I'm working for a group of guys out of Summit, New Jersey, Pizza Vita. One of the better products on that side of the Hudson River. Probably the best product on that side of the Hudson River.
Okay, so. And what's their model?
It's a Neapolitan style wood-fired oven. They have corporate dining. They got a restaurant in Summit, and they have two mobile pizza ovens built into a box truck. And these guys kill it every day.
That's cool. Now, where are these trucks? Where can I find these trucks?
Well, you could find them on the pier in Hoboken, New Jersey. Summit Farmers Market, and on Wednesdays in Hamilton Park in Jersey City.
And how'd you get in with these guys? How'd that come about?
I'm just walking.
Let me guess, you were sitting somewhere, yeah, talking to somebody
This time I was walking around the park. I wasn't sitting. I was on the move.
Okay. And
They had this breakfast pizza. You know, it was a supersada with some egg and truffle oil, and I took a bite of it, and I was like, you know what? I got to work for these guys.
Cool.
I just kept pressing, and finally they let me put my foot in the door.
So, good stuff. Scratch, I mean,
yeah.
Artisan pizza, talk about the dough. Like, I mean, are they doing it right?
They're doing it right. These guys do it right every day.
Fermentation, the whole thing.
Everything.
All right,
soup
good.
Soup to nuts.
Good. I've never experienced that pizza outside. Is that what you brought me? That's what you brought me that day.
Well, yeah.
I forgot which one you brought me.
Yeah.
The fennel, I think.
I think so. I mean, so many a day.
Fennel pie. It was so good. You know what? And the thing was, the day he brought it, normally, like, if I'm in class and someone brings food either from within the school or even especially outside the school, I like to share it with my students. But he came in, and we got this joke whenever he comes in, because he's got the tats, he's got the badass vibe going on a little bit. And I said, oh, you're out of prison. And all my students kind of like scooted across the classroom, and he gave me the pizza. And normally my students know I'm going to open that box and share it, and I said, no way, not this time. And I put it on the side, and I ate the whole pie later on. So,
oh, nice. Good to
hear.
Yeah,
it was excellent. The crust, you know, crispy, just chewy enough on the outer crust, not overwhelming with the toppings, you know, perfect amount, the ratio of topping to bread, to dough, to crust, really well done. So I appreciate that.
Oh, great. Glad you liked it.
So, you know, it was funny. I ran into you, and you were kicking around this idea of wild game. Now, you've done it certain amount of hunting.
Yeah, I would categorize myself as an inactive hunter at this point, but I've been in the field.
Okay, and what kind of hunting? You used to, archery, do I remember?
No, I mean
a little bit.
A little bit. Like when I was in the service in the Dakotas, I gave it a shot. You know, some rifle, mainly bird. I did a lot of that.
A lot of bird hunting.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, because I kind of remember we've known each other for years now, and I kind of remember that talking. You were thinking about getting into archery. I was going to help you, and then life took over or whatever.
That happens.
All right, we'll get that going this year, though, for sure. So, you know, this guy has a love of game, the outdoors, hunting, and we'll get more into that later. But he, as we were chit-chatting, he said to me, what about wild game on pizza? And I said, yeah, I mean, why the hell not, you know? And so, you know, the history of pizza itself is kind of muddled at best, I would say.
Right.
You know, Neapolitan pizza or pizza margarita for Queen Margarita, right? And but I would imagine if you really, really investigated and got into it, the Italians were living off the land.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? And they still are for the most part. And I got to imagine, you know, game animals have found their way onto pizza.
Yeah, I would imagine it's probably the original topping. I like someday, like, hey, throw this on there and boom.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's a match made in heaven. When you're talking about pizza, for me, it's about this craft, this artisan undertaking, right? That we want to really get down. We want to get dirty when we're making pizza. I mean, no one does that better than Roberta's.
Yeah.
I mean, this is pizza grown from the earth.
Yeah.
And why not pair that with wild game? I mean, that's beautiful. Never mind foraging, you know, mushrooms, herbs,
right?
The whole line that could come along. I think it's a brilliant idea. But I was having a hard time. You know, I'm not that kind of chef. I'm not into charcuterie. I'm not into, you know, that much. And that's the way I tend to think for pizza. But then, you know, I said, stop thinking in the box, Chad. You got venison loin in the freezer, you know? So you know what I'm going to do this weekend? I'm going to make some dough.
Nice.
I'm going to steal a biga from somebody I know. Yeah. He's making bigas this week. So I'm going to take the biga. I'm going to make the dough Friday or Saturday. I don't know. Ferment it, right? And I'm thinking at the beach this weekend, my wife drags me to that godforsaken cabana all weekend. I got to sit down there. I'm going to go over to the grill. And I'm going to grill some dough.
Nice.
I'm going to use a nice Asiago on it. I like Asiago.
Who doesn't?
Right? I don't know. Some fresh herbs. I'm going to keep it simple. I'm going to see what the farmer's market has as far as shrooms. Right? Maybe just grill up some shrooms. A little olive oil on there.
Yeah.
Good olive oil. And then I'm gonna throw the venison on there. I'm thinking just thin slices of the loin, right?
Yeah.
Second on the grill. Put them on the pie and then go to town.
You're living like 400 years ago, man.
Right. Yeah, that's the thing. That's what I try to do. All right. So what are your ideas for this? I mean, give me something outside the box. I'm terrible outside the box.
I mean, I was thinking like if you did something like a duck breast prosciutto, you know what I mean? That'd be, I mean, what we do, you do it all the time with, you know, right, you know, prosciutto, but take it to the duck, you know?
Yeah, I never thought of that. So talk to me about that process.
I mean, it's a pretty, I mean,
because listen, I have 30 pounds of Long Island duck breast frozen. And I'm not the big duck hunter, but a buddy of mine, and he hates them.
Mm-hmm.
He loves hunting them. He doesn't want them to go to waste. So he knows, bring it to the garbage man. I'll throw them in the freezer and eventually get to them.
Yeah.
So I have 30 pounds of duck breast.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously like with wild game duck breast, and it definitely has the flavors and the fat, you know what I mean? So I think it's best cured if you're going to put it on pizza.
Yeah, well, no, that's why I'm asking, because the rumor has it, and truthfully, it depends on where you're hunting out on Long Island.
Mm-hmm.
Further west, the ducks tend to get a bad rap.
Right.
Who knows why?
Yeah.
Pollution in the water, what they're eating, their diet.
Mm-hmm.
You go further out east, and the Long Island ducks, the wild ducks, you know, people are raving about them.
Right.
This guy hunts right in Long Beach Harbor,
okay,
Nassau County, and he's taking down ducks left and right, and he despises the flavor profile of these duck breasts. That's why he gives them to me.
Right.
So I've talked about, you know, pickling them. I've talked about marinating them. I've marinated them and grilled them. And it's funny because, you know, if I grill 5 duck breasts from my bag of frozen duck. You know, 3 of them will taste the same. 2 will be outlandish. They'll be different textures. But curing them and doing something like a prosciutto.
Yeah, especially when you have a mass of them. I mean, how could you go wrong? You know, it keeps for long durations of time.
Right.
It's a win-win, I think.
Yeah. All right. So we're gonna you know what we're gonna do? Because I'm lazy.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give you 30 pounds of duck breast. That's my thing. And then you do whatever you want. Bring them back in. And we'll have a little tasting. We'll feed Jack, my producer. We'll see what Roberta's thinks of it.
Sounds good to me.
What do you think, Jack?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Jack's ready. See, Jack's always ready. Nice. Love that. All right. Now, the pizza thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you've been doing that multiple years.
I've been close to a year with these guys. It's been a learning process. Like, it's...
Right.
It's like working at Balthazar's all over again. That kind of speed.
Okay, so let's go back to that. So that's where you kind of got into the industry. I mean, you had some experience, but formally you started working for Balthazar.
Right. That was my first job in this business, and you know, it's kind of nice to go to work for a place where you learn some hard lessons fast. It definitely keeps you humble.
Give me
honest.
One of those lessons, like. Cause you're a hardworking dude.
Yeah,
he's got the working class tats. Now you were in I don't want to offend you. Navy.
Oh
my God. See, oh, I should do some research.
I was a member of the finest Air Force on the planet.
Oh, I thought you were in the military. I'm sorry.
Wow.
Ouch.
I thought he was in the military, Jack. I didn't know he was in the Air Force.
It's rough.
There's nothing wrong with that. It's service to your country, but like I was thinking, either I was going to join the Air Force or the Peace Corps.
Okay.
I wasn't sure which one. You know, because they're both.
Yeah,
great organizations
right.
to serve
well,
your nation.
I had a great 4 years in the gentleman's service.
Thanks. Yep. See, they know how to behave there.
Can I jump in with a question, Chad?
Please.
Because this is something we're going to do for the network. I'm curious how you guys celebrate Memorial Day.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man.
Please. My guest, let him go first, because I got an answer. Because I'm pissed off about it, Jack.
I thought so.
I'm pissed off. All right, please.
Well, the same way I celebrate it every year. It happens to be close to my birthday, so I just enjoy the freedom of my backyard and the barbecue.
Okay, cool. What's going through your head while you're enjoying that freedom?
I'd like another beer.
Okay, see, now...
I keep it simple.
This guy, he served his nation. So for me, he can do whatever the hell he wants to honor our fallen. Now, that's my problem. I'm a veteran. He's a veteran. How many people on Memorial Day weekend walk up to you and say, thank you for your service? Thank you for your service. They feel like, it almost feels like people think they have to do that. First of all, no one's got to thank me for anything.
Yeah.
Okay. It's never a bad thing. You want to thank me, I'll shake your hand. Fine. Right?
Right.
Memorial Day weekend is not about thanking veterans, surviving veterans. Can we get this through your head? It's about our fallen, memorializing the dead, the guys who sacrificed their lives for this country. Whether you agree with a certain war or a political belief or a movement, or it doesn't matter. That's what they did. And when I served, and you and I, we don't see eye to eye politically, right?
Some days, yes.
Yeah, right. And we respect each other. We shake each other's hand. I almost died for his right to disagree with me. And that's the beauty of it. So this weekend when you're grilling, and that's what I like to do, Jack. I like to do the same thing. My wife, again, drags me to that godforsaken cabana. And it's very nice. Don't get me wrong. I'm not that kind of guy, though. I always feel a little uppity when I go there. Like, who am I, cabana? I grew up in Suffolk County. We went to the beach. You had a bad peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Amen.
A warm soda. And you enjoyed the water. You know, right. Now I got a cabana with a grill and all, you know. So, but it's cool because, you know what? I get to make it my own. I get to put out the American flag over the cabana. I get to sit back, look at that. I get to pour my American bourbon on a 90, hopefully a 90 degree day or on a warm day out at the beach. And every sip of that bourbon, I'm thinking about the guys who didn't make it, who served this nation, and giving me that goddamn right to sit out and the freedom to sit out on that beach with no one to worry about except for my wife harassing me about drinking too much bourbon.
Yeah. I think like one trip to Arlington Cemetery, Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, and no one ever forgets that.
Yeah, the Garden of Stone, man, you go there and you just see those tombstones lined up. Go to any national cemetery. You don't even, like that, you know, of course.
Yeah.
But go to Cavelton out on Long Island. you know. Mm-hmm. My father-in-law is buried there. I go out there. And just go through, read 10 tombstones, you know. Look at how many guys have sacrificed their lives for this nation. And, yeah. and you're humbled in a way, and you're so thankful for these guys. Forget about thanking me. I survived. I didn't do anything. I got a paycheck. I got to – it was actually an honor for me. It was a pleasure for me to say – I served my nation. I did something for the betterment of my country. So forget about me. It's those guys who didn't make it. Think about you know, the freaking guys in SEAL Team 6, guys who are suffering this moment right now in Afghanistan, all over the world. We don't even know. You know we got special forces running around Africa looking for the girls, right?
I'm sorry. I would say also the families, you know what I mean, who like to have the impact of somebody who never comes home, you know.
Oh, man, see? That's why we have him as a guest, Jack. He always thinks beyond. That's an adult thought. I don't think of that. But there was a commercial last night on, I happened to catch, I was watching something with my kids. Oh, that show Cosmos, you know that show?
Oh, yeah, I love it.
It's an amazing show. But there was a commercial for the special, the Fallen Special Operation Foundation or something. Mm-hmm. And they had a bunch of kids on, you know, basically on the commercial. Every 10 seconds, a new kid would come on and be like, the foundation helped me go to college. I lost my father. And you look at all these beautiful families and these kids who are going to grow up without a father or a mother, for that matter, yeah. having served their nation, you know. And geez, if we can't take care of them, as a country, as a nation, right? Then what the hell are we doing? You know, those people,
yeah.
they deserve everything, yeah. in my humble opinion. And then that brings up the whole scandal. Now you started a whole thing, Jack. Hope you're happy.
It's a luckily time for a break, though.
the VA scandal.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, these savages running our VA are you know, they can't take care of the veterans. Who can we take care of? If we're not taking care of them, we're not taking care of anybody in this country, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
And this has nothing to do with right wing, left wing. We should all be appalled that these guys serve their country, come back, and can't get the treatment that they earned or deserve. But we're going to take a short break here, and we'll be right back with the Wild Game Domain and Jose Montes. Thank you.
The following program was brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons. Edwards Suriano hams are aged to perfection for no less than 400 days and hickory smoked to achieve a deep mahogany color. The Edwards name is well known for its world-class aged and cured meats. Their exclusive curing and aging recipe produces a unique flavor profile that enhances the quality characteristics of Berkshire pork. Optimum amounts of pure white fat marbling contribute to a flavor that's a delicate, perfect balance between sweet and salty. For more information, visit edwardsvaham.com.
Hey, welcome back. I'm your host, Chad Pagano, and you're listening to the Wild Game Domain on heritageradionetwork.org. My guest, Jose Montes, is here. Okay, so you're stationed Grand Rapids?
No, Grand Forks, North Dakota.
Grand Forks.
Grand Forks Air Force Base.
Okay, and you get an opportunity to get out there and hunt, an opportunity I've never had.
Yeah.
I mean, hunting the wide open tundra, it's, the plains of the Dakotas.
Yeah, no trees, no nothing, just wide open. I mean, obviously trees, but wide open spaces. And I get to Grand Forks Air Force Base and make fast friends, and we're going hunting next week, get your light, you know. can you get hooked up with a license?
And yeah.
You go through the spiel, get your license. Next thing you know, it's 4 a.m. and
yeah.
You're freezing your butt off.
Well, I know back then you could get, if you're a, even if you're not a resident, if you were in the military, mm-hmm. even today, I think, if you're in the military, wherever you're stationed, you yeah. could buy the resident
yeah.
hunting license. You get a discount for being an active duty military.
Right.
You might even get it free in certain states, but you get to pay at a minimum the in-state rate for your license.
Correct.
So you get your license out there.
Yeah.
And just talk about that for a second. I mean, that's an experience I've never had. I've hunted Canada.
Yeah.
Very nice. I've hunted all up and down New York State. I've hunted Long Island.
Yeah.
I've never been out in the, you know, Dakotas on a hunt. I got to imagine it's almost spiritual.
Well, I mean, it was for me for a completely different reason. Like, I was, and to go back to talk about my grandfather, he was a huge hunter. I grew up in Warren County, New Jersey, which is, for this region of New York, New Jersey, it's like the Ozarks, you know,
right.
Pretty much anything, you know, you got the wild out there. I remember as a kid, him coming home.
Yeah,
know,
to this day, man, great yeah. hunting.
Yeah.
Proud hunting tradition.
Yeah, and I mean, bags full of pheasant. You know, so when he passed away and I didn't really get that experience with him, I get out to Dakotas and I'm in the field at 4 a.m. and it was, you know, for somebody who, like, you know, loved his grandfather a lot, finally get to walk in those shoes was a good day. Even though I didn't bag a thing that day, just the experience of kind of like living what my grandfather lived was it made it a great day.
Yeah, see, and that's the thing. I'm not good at illustrating. You know, the fact that just because you didn't shoot or kill an animal that day or harvest an animal, that's what my non-hunting friends don't get.
Yeah,
you know, I put in hundreds, if not thousands of hours a year
right.
hunting. And very few of those minutes actually translate into the actual shot, kill, and harvest yeah. of an animal. I mean, if you broke it down, it's probably 1% of the time I'm actually killing right. an animal. So it's the, and I hate to get corny, but the spiritual journey, what you're gaining from right. that experience, you know?
I mean, most of us do this out of a lineage, you know what I mean? Like, some people just like, hey, I want to start hunting, and they can pick it up that fast. But a lot of us are introduced to it by our parents and grandparents and their grandparents and grand, you know, it's a long tradition.
Right. And it means so much, you know, and for me, that's the thing. I'm trying to promote the sport through this show in some ways.
Right.
You know, let's not even call it a sport. I got to come up with a better name for it.
Lifestyle.
A lifestyle. Yeah. You know, a way of life. And for people trying to jump in, I see their struggle with it. And for people who are brought up with it and the respect for the environment, the animal, the whole undertaking, the idea that, you know, not to compare myself to a Native American, but to feel what they felt.
Right.
You know, and they went out there and it was substance. It was part of their life cycle.
Yeah.
To have that respect for the animal, it's refreshing for me.
Yeah.
Without hunting, I would be a mental case.
I think you could even make the argument that, like, the pilgrims come over here, they're starving. You know, our country's hunting lineage comes from the Native American because somebody had to show them the ropes on this side of the pond.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. And then you talk about, you know, the pioneers, guys, you know, going west and living off the land.
Yeah.
For me, I couldn't imagine their woodscraft,
right.
call it, you know, their ability to do it and stay alive.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I could keep my family alive.
Yeah.
And I'm a pretty damn good hunter. And right. I have a $1,200 compound bow.
Right.
And I have top of the line. I have army sniper training.
Yeah.
I have, and it's hard to hunt.
Yeah.
It's hard to kill animals.
Yeah.
You know, people don't realize, especially the animals, the white-tailed deer. It's not like you go out. It's not shooting fish in a barrel,
mm-mm.
even today. And there's more deer today than there were back then.
Right.
You know, the herds are doing great. Okay, so where are you now? What's the next thing? What are we doing? What are we doing with our life? Where are you going? You're going to try to get a job at Roberta's?
Oh,
you're leaving the company in Summit? What are you doing?
I would say I'm a hopeful, you know? Like, this, I'm pretty humbled, like, talking about pizzas and in the Roberta's backyard, but
you see this guy's respect for everything. He's got respect for everything.
Yeah.
That's what I love about him. See, I'm just like, that's a pizza. Who cares? Make a pizza. Make a good pizza, right? But for you, it's deeper than that.
Well, I mean, they have a reputation that carries, you know, like So
right, if you're in that pizza scene, Roberta's is obviously well respected. I mean, just in the food industry, they're well respected for what they do.
Yeah, definitely.
So now, what's your plans for hunting? What are we going to be doing? You're joining me this year?
Yeah, I'll definitely. Yeah, I think I'm going to get my license in order. And
now you're a resident of New York, New Jersey.
No, great state of New Jersey.
The great state of New Jersey.
Yeah.
So for us to hunt, you have to get a out-of-state license here in New York. Not a big deal. They're pretty reasonably priced. And one good thing our governor has done, he's lowered all the out-of-state licensing rates. I know a lot of you local guys, you know, it's kind of like surfing, Jack. You know, like those guys have their local beach and it's like no, what do they call them, outsiders or whatever. They don't want those people surfing their waves. It's kind of like that with hunters,
like
too.
Point Break for
the stupid governor lowered the rates. Now we're going to have all these New Jersey people come and calm down. First of all, we need more hunters. We want to promote the sport and we could certainly share. I mean, you know, you know, they're not welcome on my private land, of course, but our state lands and stuff, we should have people using it and hunting it, and if they're paying the fees. So that's what we're going to do. You're going to get your license. We got to get you some archery gear, though. I see you as an archery hunter.
Yeah, you know, that's the, I guess, what am I saying? That's the undiscovered world for me is archery.
Yeah, I think, you know, especially the way you analyze and break down everything and think it through, you'll have a ball. Nice. I think it'll redefine your life if you actually kill an animal with a bow and arrow.
Right.
And for me, I'm going to say it again. I know I've said this in the past. Every chef, the culinary side, even the pastry side, I don't care what side you're on, bread bakers, you should have to, for me, go out there, harvest an animal, bring it back, facilitate that animal in some way, and use it in a dish. For me, it's the life cycle of what a chef should do and see, instead of just going to the internet and ordering your meat, which is fine. But understand the whole, you know, the whole life cycle of the animal and what comes around from harvesting our own meat.
Yeah, I would argue that the first chef was the guy who took a wildebeest leg and put it on top of fire.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The wildebeest, you know, it could run fast, but not far, right? The human ran after it. It finally got tired. They dragged it back to the cave.
Yeah.
The rest is born. Chefing and hunting, right? that's where we come from.
Yeah.
So it's a match made in heaven. All right. So we're going to keep in touch.
Definitely.
And we'll do the hunting thing, and we'll have you back once you settle into your pizza, with your next step in your pizza making career.
Yeah, next adventure.
Hopefully here. Maybe I'll see you every morning and or every Tuesday morning.
Nice.
But really, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having
me. I appreciate it, man. Well, guess what, guys? Unfortunately, that's all the time we have. I'd like to thank Jack, of course, for producing and engineering today's show. We love when he jumps in. He's a wealth of knowledge. You can always find archived episodes of The Wild Game Domain from the Hunt to the Hearth on heritageradionetwork.org or on iTunes as a podcast. You can also check out thewildgamedomain.com. I'm not very active. Check us out on Facebook. We're on Facebook. But support the station. It's a great station. And Memorial Day weekend's coming up. Have a drink. Do your barbecues. Go out there and party. But remember our fallen, if you don't mind. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.